Our loving Father, Lord, you are indeed my everything. It is in you that I surrender my heart. It is in you, Lord, that I surrender my voice today, that you would speak to me today. That the words that will be spoken today, Lord, will go into the deepest part of my soul, that I may understand the goodness and the greatness and the power that you have. Lord, I ask that you would use me as a way that I've probably never been used before, that I may understand, Lord, that we are here for such a time as this, that the words, Lord, that you penned through this beautiful love letter, Lord, the words to show us that when we have a dream, Lord, when you give us a dream, you will fulfill it. And Lord, we may have to go through some struggles, but at the end, we know that we've been in the presence of our Creator God. So may we feel your presence today, Lord. May your Holy Spirit be with us today in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever had a dream? I remember growing up, I wanted to be a pastor. And I remember I would go to the different places and I would go and I was going to my school. I was probably 12, 13 years old and I'm on my way to school and I'm preaching my sermon and I'm just talking out loud and I'm just preaching. I remember I was around 20 some odd years old and I'm working for the Holiday Inn at that time. And God impressed me to preach a sermon. And he said that we as Seventh-day Adventists, we are looking at and we put Ellen White so high, and yet God is looking for individuals like Ellen White today that are willing to surrender their hearts and are willing to be able to be used like she did. And here I am, and I remember I'm working. I can't forget. And the Lord has just inspired me, and I'm going up and down on my sermon, and I'm just shouting, and it's so exciting. And yet, I told somebody this, and then she said to me, "So why don't you preach the sermon?" And that really hurt me. It got me to the point, it says, here I am, I'm preaching, God has given me all of this. You know, I still have not preached that sermon. One of these days, I'm going to have to. It's not going to be today either. But it's interesting because God inspires us and God shows us, and every time we have a dream and we look at it, and how many dreams that we've had. I know I've talked to my brother and he's full of dreams. He's got so many dreams that he wants to accomplish, and he knows. The wonderful part is that he knows that God has given him a path that he's going to go through. And there are certain things that God is trying to let you know. Yes, I have put a purpose. I have put a destination for you. I have made sure that you know that you are aware that you are not here by chance, that you are here because I formed you, like the lesson talked about. And I also have a plan that I am going to make sure that it be fulfilled in your life. You know, and I've been trying to preach this particular sermon for a long time. There's something about Joseph. There's something about his story that just resonates with me. There's something about knowing the struggles and what he's had to go through in order for understand. Because today I was wrestling, yesterday and today I was wrestling, Lord, do I start at the end and work my way backwards? Do I show our individuals what the victory looks like and then work back to what it took to get there? Or do I start at the very beginning and understand that God has a plan, Stephen, for you? God has a plan, Pearl, for you. God has a plan for each one of us. And sometimes that plan, we have to go through little places. We have to go through little struggles. And in order for us to do this story justice, we need to go to Genesis. We need to go to Genesis chapter 30. And we're going to start with verse 1 and 2. And it says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, Give me a children, else I die." I don't know if you've ever been in that agony. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation in your life where you're pleading to God and you're asking the Lord, "Lord, where are you? Lord, I am to the point of death. You look at all of the individuals. The one that reminds me is Jonah, reminded me the story of Jonah, all of the things that God had done in front of him, and yet he's still to the point, oh, if I would die. And so many times we're at those struggles. We're pleading to God and we're saying, I don't know what to do anymore. And it says in verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I God? Stead who has withheld from thee the fruit of thy womb? And there's many times where we're going and we're looking at, and the only reason why we need to start in this part of the story is because we need to know that when you know that there is a victory, you can start with the victory, but there are struggles that are happening even within before we were born. We see the things that are happening around in our family's life. We see what's happening around with those or members around the church. There are so many things that we need to understand that God's victory, when God fully fulfills his victory in us, is because we have seen the power of God through our life. We go into verse 25, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and country. You know, all through this time, we know the story of Jacob. We know how he had to fight, had to work 7 years for this woman that he loved. And yet, at the end of those 7 years, that he was deceived. And yet, he had to work another 7 years. And here, he's going through, not only did he had 14 years worth of working, now his wife is murmuring, now his wife is in agony, and now his wife is telling me, I need to have a child. And yet, he's going through, and at this time, when God blessed him with that child in which he loved, and we'll know about those when we continue, now is when he says, now is when I can start my journey. And we go into chapter 31 and verse 3, and it says, and the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto thy land of thy father and thy kindred, and I will be with thee. You know, sometimes we forget what God tells us. Sometimes we sit there and we've seen what God has done through the centuries. God has done through the time, and we have seen how God has blessed other individuals, and we forget that God too has told us that he will bless us. And you look at through this story, and you look at that God is telling them, I will be with you through your journey. And we continue with the story, and God is trying to let you know that he is making sure that in everything that you do, he's going to take care of you. And we look at that story when Jacob is going through and is going back home, and yet he's once again faced with the fear. He's faced with the fear of his brother coming in. He's faced with that fear of not knowing what's going to happen. And then we have this beautiful story in which he comes and he wrestles with this angel. And he wrestles all night, and he's not there letting him go. And the angel said, let me go, for day is coming. The angels took and broke his hip, and he couldn't, but he still held hold tight. Brothers and sisters, right now God is trying to tell you, hold on. Hold on, because Christ is bringing you. Christ is showing you that there is something that he wants to show you. Not only is he telling you that he has a plan for you, not only is he telling you that he's going to fulfill that plan, but he's telling you, as long as you hold on fast, I'm going to bless you to the place where from your seed, the world, the future will be fulfilled. Salvation will come from your seed. You know, sometimes we go through and we understand and we're saying to ourselves, Lord, when is it going to be? Lord, when am I going to fulfill? When are you going to show me that there is no more struggles in my life? But there is always a time where you know. There's a time when you know that you have been in the presence of the God. And we go into chapter 37, and we start in verse 5. And finally, we're going to talk about Joseph. You know, it's interesting, because when you're looking at a story like Joseph, when you're looking at a story in the Bible, you have to start from the beginning. You have to start from the struggles. You can't just start from the blessing. You have to start from the point where God is leading you through that thing. It could not have been easy for Joseph growing up. It could not have been easy for him, because he was in a place where there were struggles. He was in a place where there was confusion. He was in a place where there was hatred, where there was so things that were happening. But yet he grew up. And we're going in verse, chapter 37, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed the dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Have you ever been, were you ever that child that you kept on telling everybody, I'm going to be the CEO of a company. I'm going to do such great things. And you're coming, oh, you'll see, I'm going to be so great. I'm going to be so wonderful. And these kids would just, oh, I'm just going to, just want to give them one of these. You know, because they always told you they would belittle you. They always looked at you as different. And now you have these brothers that have seen that the father loves this son so much that he has gotten the best coat. He has gotten all of these things. And now he's laughing. I got a dream for you. Let me tell you about the dream. I'm going to be great. And you all are going to bow down to me. You know, it's interesting because this dream happened twice. And not only did he tell his brother, he also told his father and says, you too are going to be bowing down to me. You know, and many times we go through our life and we look at, and there are dreams, there are things that are happening. There's so many times that we overlook Jesus and we exalt our dreams and we start looking at our dreams and we forget the dream giver. We forget him who started the dream in your life, and we want to accomplish each one of our dreams by ourselves, and we want to do it, and we don't want, and most of the time we forget that it was God who gave us that dream, and if without him, we're not going to be able to accomplish it. We go into chapter 37, verse 13, and Israel said unto Joseph, do thy brethren feed thy flock in Shechem? He says, come, and I will send thee unto them that he said to him, and he said to him, here I am. You know, as the story unfolds, you get to know what's happening in this family. As the story unfolds, especially, is going to get grievous. But now, I don't know if you've ever noticed that particular verse. Here is Joseph. He is sitting by his father, and his father is saying, your brothers need to be fed. And he says, here I am. How many times that God is trying to tell you there are those that need to be fed around you? How many times that God is trying to tell you there's a need for you to spread the message to those around you? There's workers, co-workers, son, daughters, family, spouses that are in yearning, that are in need of you to reflect his character. And sometimes you know that you're going to go into difficult situations. Sometimes you know you're going to go into people that are low, that are going to loathe you. They're going to tell you, I don't want nothing to do with that God of yours. But yeah, you need to be faithful and to say, here I am, send me. As that story continues in verse 31, and it says, and they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid and goat and dipped it in the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether is by thy son's coat or not. Oh, brothers and sisters. Did they know who that coat belonged to? They knew. But yet they come once again and they loathe their brother so much. They come once again and they bring, I don't know if we're really understanding what's happening here. I don't know if we really understand what it is. We as parents should not have favorites. I have a favorite child. I only have a favorite child because I only have one child. But we shouldn't have a favorite child. We should love all of our children. But yet there's always one that we love a little more. And they know. I know my father loved my sister. I know that, you know, she was the little baby of the house. And it was great. I had no problem with that. But we shouldn't have a favorite. But yet here are these sons. He's coming and he's bringing this news to this father. Your favorite son has died. I don't know about you, but that would break my heart. And that story continues, and it talks about how grievous the father was. And we go into verse 36. And the Midianites sold Joseph into Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and the captains of the guard. I'm trying to get the story. I'm trying to get you to understand that there are so many facets into our lives. I'm trying to get you to understand that our story did not begin when we started becoming successful. I'm trying to get you to understand that our story did not begin when others see Christ in us. I'm trying to get you to understand that our stories begin way before we're even born. Our story is begin when God himself forms us in the womb of our mother. And from that moment on, the promises that God has given you will be fulfilled no matter what is going to happen in your life. So here you are, you have this young man that was born into a family that disliked him from the moment he was born. You have a young man that he had the favor of the father, even though there was 10 other brothers that were out there. He was shown favoritism to the point where others hated him, even though they were siblings. You have a boy that's coming in that is trying to say, Dad, here I am. I will go feed my brothers. And now you have a young man that is being sold into slavery, a young man that doesn't understand what he did wrong because he has had a privileged life all of his life. His father has given him everything because he loved them. And yet now he's found himself in a pit. Now he's found himself in a different country. Now he's found himself in a place where he doesn't know the language. He's found himself in a place. Let me tell you, I know how that feels. I remember being 11 years old. I remember coming into not only a place where it was, I didn't know the language. The only word I knew in English was sit down, because my father would use it all the time. Other than that, I didn't know anything. But not only that, I walked out in Edmonton, Alberta. It was January. There was 20 foot of snow on the ground. It was negative 50 degrees. And everybody told me, make sure you don't lick anything because your tongue's going to fall off. And there's so many stories that they told you about the polar bears are going to be coming and banging on your doors and so many things. And we were so scared. And I'm coming in and I'm going to school for the first time and I don't know what they're saying. I know what Joseph is feeling. I know how he's getting in this place. And now we go to chapter 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guards, and the Egyptians bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, I don't know if you know this caveat about this Ishmaelite, but they're actually kin. They're family. They actually took a kin man of one of their own and they come and they sell them now as a slave. I don't know if you've ever been through those situations where you are going and you have this dream and you want to, but yet there are so many struggles that are happening in your life that you wonder, Lord, am I ever going to accomplish that dream? And you look, and I could imagine, here's Joseph for the first time. He's found himself in this home that is not his dad. He's found himself in this place as a slave, as somebody in which now he's not only being looked at as the greatest of the household, now he's looked at as somebody that is to serve. I could think about his wonderful, how his dad would take care of everything, because I would have done the same. My favorite child, I would have done anything for her. I would do anything. But yet now he's looking at, he's for the first time. Now the wonderful part that I want you to know about this story. It's not only look at what the dream that God accomplished, but not only that, understand that there is a God that is guiding him through the whole time. And many times when we're going through our struggles, that's the only thing that's going to give us joy. Many times when we're going through those rough times, it's when we're going to understand, we're going to feel his hand, we're going to feel his love, we're going to feel his embrace. And it continues in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. Oh, wouldn't I love to be, you know, I have told you this before, there's few times in my life that they call me man of God. That is the greatest thing that anybody can call me. Whenever I hear those words, my chest just fills up with joy because they see the God in me. I don't want people to see me. If they ever knew who I was, they would never want to be with me. But when they tell me that you're a man of God, that's when I know that God is working. That's when I know that God is doing the work in my life, because there's nothing in me, only the Creator God who brings and who molds you and who brings you into the realization that, yes, you are nobody without him. And it said again, it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. He was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master in Egypt, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him. Brothers and sisters, I need to stop here. Because each one of us have a responsibility. Each one of us have the responsibility to be able to reflect God even in adversity. Even in our times of struggles, even in our times when society has forgotten about us, that's when we need to shine the most. And now here is Joseph, and this Egyptian, this pagan Egyptian, is looking at him and he says, His God blesses him. And I hope that not only that you understand that that's what you would like for others to be able to see, that God is blessing us, not because of the things that we may deserve, but because others need to see the God in you. You may be the only Bible that someone will ever read. And it continues. And in verse 3, and the master saw that it was good. In verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that has that he had put onto his land. When God blesses you, when God blesses you, he blesses those around you. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you get that message today. I hope you understand that your blessing is not just for you. I hope that you understand that your joy is not just for you. I hope that you understand that even your struggles are not just for you, that there is someone else that's going to benefit from those. And as long as you are faithful, those individuals are going to see your God. It continues in verse 7 of chapter 39, and it says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what struggles you're going through right now. I don't know how you're being tempted today. That's between you and God. But I know that you are being tempted. And I know that you're going through difficult situations, because if when you serve the Lord, especially in such a time as this, the enemy is going to attack you. Brother, I know you're going through. I know you could see that there's things that are happening in our lives. That God is trying to tell you, oh my, if you only knew. You know, I remember of when he talked and Jesus said that the devil wanted to sift you. You know, it's wonderful that God, that Christ prayed for us so we can be joyous and know that he loved us so much. Not only did he die on the cross, but he made sure that he pleaded to the Father to be in with us, that we can be like him. And then it continues in verse 9, and this is by far one of my favorite verses. It says, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither has he kept back anything from me but ye, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, when we look at our day-to-day life, we're so worried about what other people are saying about us. We're so worried about, you know, are we going to offend somebody? And God is trying to tell you, don't worry about the people, worry about me. Why can't you get to a point where you start saying, how can I do this wickedness to my God? Many times we're so worried about how people are going to judge me. Brothers and sisters, I saw a thing yesterday in Facebook, and it was this Christian that he had, you know, his label as Christian, and yet he kept on going, you know, hiding himself. And it's like, why? Why are we as Christian hiding when we right now is when we most need to praise the Lord and then let those around us know that we are Christian, that we have a Savior that loves us? And right now you have Joseph in this situation, and yet he's worried, not worried. He's saying, I cannot do this to my God. And Lord, we need to understand that we need to put God higher and above anything else in our lives. And it continues in chapter 39, verse 20, it says, and Joseph, master, took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prison were found. And he was there in prison. Now we look at this story. We started the story from a mother that was saying, I'm going to die. And we started and we go through this young man that is going through, and he's in a house where his father worshipped him almost, that gave him everything. But yet his brothers loathe him and sold them. And he's been in the great, and now he was second in command to this gentleman who was higher in the government. And now he's found himself in jail for something he didn't commit. And it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers in prison. And the keepers in prison committed to Joseph's hand and all the prisoners that were in prison, and whosoever they that there was in there doeth it. And verse 33, that keeper of the prison looked not anything at was under the hand before the Lord was, because the Lord was with him, and that with he did the Lord made it prosper. Right now is when we need to start showing whom we serve. Right now is when we need to start understanding that our God is the one that we need to reflect in everything that we do. You look at in any situation that Joseph has been in, you look at anything that is happening in his life, he's giving God the honor. And the beautiful part of it is not him who's glorifying himself and says, oh, no, I can't. Look, I'm too good. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, no, brother, nobody cares that you're a Seventh-day Adventist. They care that you reflect God in everything that you do. Your religion has nothing to bear in your life. It's not your religion that's going to save you. It's your God and this love letter that's going to save you. And you look at both time and time again, it is Joseph, it's others that are saying it's his God. He has a God that is different. It's his God that's prospering him. It's not Joseph who's doing the job. Oh, brothers and sisters, may they say the same thing about us. May they look when they look at us and not say, look at Luis. They may say, look at the God that Luis serves. Because that's what God is asking us today. And it's interesting because we're going through, and now we've got into chapter 41, verse 1. And it's saying, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood at the river. Not only us have dreams. It's going to be others that are going to have dreams in their life. And the beautiful part of it is that when they have dreams, they need an interpreter. And it continues here. Now, this is interesting. This is 2 years that this man is in jail. Not only was he a slave, he was the pretty boy at the house. Now he was a slave. Now he's in prison. And he's in prison, and he answers, and he takes, and he helps two individuals in prison, and one is actually back in the kingdom. And 2 years later, he has a dream, and it says, verse 9, then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault that this day Pharaoh was worth with the servants and put in the word in the captains of the guardhouse, both me and the chief baker, and we dreamed a dream on one night, and he with a dream, each man according to his interpretation in the dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dream, and each man according to his interpretation. There's so many of us that are doing Bible studies right now. I know Jane talks about all of the individuals that she shares with, and her heart breaks. Because she's looking at it and she's saying, where, Lord, where is the fruit of my labor? I'm working, I'm trying, I'm doing all of these things, but yet I don't see it. I go back to the church and the same over and over and over, Lord, when are we going to see that fruit? And we're looking here at Joseph, and Joseph is saying, Lord, how come? I could imagine Joseph. He would murmur too, I'm pretty sure. And he says, Lord, I've been here for 2 years. I was faithful to that butler. I was faithful to him. I showed him, remember me. And 2 years have passed, and now it comes to the fruition. It says, verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his garment and came unto the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say thee, that thou understand a dream and interpretest. Brothers and sisters, before I read that next verse, before I go on to that next verse, I need you to understand that from every moment of Joseph's life, from the beginning that he said, here I am, Father, I will go. And where he says that I cannot do this evil thing upon my Lord. Right now, he is shown an opportunity to be able to boast himself and say, oh yes, I am great, but let me listen to this verse. And it says here, and Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Brothers, may we continue, may we understand that we are here not for ourselves, we are here to reflect and to show others what God we serve, and there's nothing inherent in us but him who is working the work through us. May we be like Joseph. May we understand that, yes, you may be going through tough times right now. If I only would tell you what I'm going through right now. But I still praise the Lord. I still praise the Lord because I get to see how wonderful and great it is. And now it's in chapter 41 and verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown thee. Let me stop there for a second. Three times now individuals are saying that they are seeing the God in Joseph. Three times now Joseph have shown those around him that is not him who they need to see, but is God who they need to see. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to start reflecting God. It's time for us, for others to see the God in us. Stop thinking about the things that you're capable of doing and start looking at the things that God is doing through you. Because there's nothing that you can do except reflect God. And it says that shown thee all these is none so discreet and wise, and thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto my word, thy word, shall all people be ruled. Only enthroned will I be greater than thou. The dream fulfilled. Dream given and the dream fulfilled. My time is up. I had a complaint from a friend that said that the last time you preached, you stopped too early. And I could easily stop here because I think you got the message. I think you understand that there's a message that God is trying to tell you, that there will be struggles in your life, but you need to allow others to see God in you. But today I want to continue. And it says in verse 41, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. You know, the story continues and it talks about everything that happened. And brothers and sisters, it's so wonderful to be able to know that when we are faithful to God, Jenna, when we're faithful to God, he's going to touch our hearts. And he's going to do wonderful things to us. And he's going to show us marvelous, wonderful, great things. And he's showing you today. I see the way you love. I see the way that you connect with animals and with people. And I see the way that you just look at this nature and you enjoy the things that God in an intricate way. May I have your heart one day. May I have your love one day. May I understand from your eyes. May I understand the beauty of what God has created. Because I'm so busy looking at all the things in my life that I don't take the time as a child to look at every intricate part of life and look at how wonderful our God is and look at how wonderful God provides. And it's through their eyes that we get to understand that, yes, our God is good. And it comes here. And now I'm going to go into chapter 45. Brothers and sisters, I want you to go to chapter 45 and verse 4. And it says, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near me. I pray you that they came near and said I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. There's a lot of this story that I left out, but you know the part of the story. But I want you to understand in this verse. I want you to put yourself in this verse. I know that if you have had a brother that have caused you so much hurt in your life, the first thing you're going to say, I'm going to give you these. But you look at Joseph, and you look at this part of the story, and it says, now therefore be not grieved, not angry with yourself that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Can I talk to you today? Can I tell you today that God is sending you today to preserve life? There is someone in your atmosphere. There is someone in your neighborhood. There is someone around you that is needing to see the God in you in order for them to realize. You may not have a task like Joseph. You may not be sent to save humanity from a starvation, but you may be here to save somebody for the kingdom. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a wonderful joy that is. I don't know about you, but it's so great to be able to know that there's going to be individuals in the kingdom that are going to come and say, thank you. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord, because it's because of you that I'm here today. I know without a shadow of a doubt, when I see my Creator put that crown on my head and I see those jewels be put, I'm going to say, Lord, where? When? How? How did I touch the heart of these individuals? Because there will be anybody in heaven without at least one jewel. And I know I look at my life and I said, Lord, when? When have I done something? When have I brought anybody? But when we get to heaven and that jewel crown is put in our heads, we're going to be so grateful, because we would have been fulfilled the dream that God started in us. And then it said in verse 6, for these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be harvest. And verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity on the earth, and to save your lives, and a great deliverance. And then it says in verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord in the house, and the ruler through all of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, thus says the son of Joseph, God has made me Lord of Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. Brothers and sisters, God has made you the son and the daughter. Of Bay Roberts. This is your territory. This is where God is calling you to do. If you don't understand that this job is vital, if you don't understand that whatever you were dreaming of in the past, you wanted to be a president, you wanted to be a leader of a company, you wanted to be whatever God has called you to do today, remember this. Your greatest job is to reflect him. Open my heart and my mind. Lord, at this moment, I want you to fulfill the dream in me. Lord, there is someone here today that still needs to surrender to you. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would come into their heart. That you would share with them, Lord, the love that you have, that you have a dream for them. The Lord, that the dream that you have instilled in them, you're going to fulfill. And Lord, may we see and may we understand that there are those around us that are in need of a Savior. And Lord, we may be the only one that could bring them to the kingdom. Lord, I say, here I am. Send me. I thank you for being my God. I thank you for being my Savior. I thank you for fulfilling my dreams. And Lord, I would love to see you one day. And I want to be face to face with you that I could see the work that you started and you finished. And I could say, this is my God in whom I have waited. We thank you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.